Unless he's hiding. Good evening, everyone. We'll start with our pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Quiatic.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Colon.
Present. Thank you. Prior to the consideration tonight of our regular agenda items, City Council will conduct two public hearings. Public hearing number one. Our first public hearing is to accept public comment on the proposed ordinance amending Article 1701 to adopt the 2018 version of the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code. Pursuant to the Pennsylvania Construction Code Act, this proposed ordinance was required to be transmitted to the Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry for review at least 30 days prior to the holding of a required public hearing by City Council. At the time of the transmission of the proposed ordinance, which was done on March 7th of 2022, the city was obligated to provide to the department a proposed date of holding the public hearing and the council meeting on April 19, 2022, tonight, provided sufficient time for the department's review to be concluded. Accordingly, it is requested that this proposed ordinance be placed on council's agenda for April 19, 2022 for a public hearing. That will be followed by public hearing number two this evening. The second public hearing is to receive public comment on the request for the intermunicipal transfer of restaurant liquor license number R14009 from Valley Pizza Incorporated at 503 Old Main Street, P.O. Box 5 in Walnutport, Northampton County, to Montclair Meat and Food Corporation at 410 Montclair Avenue here in Bethlehem, Northampton County. I'm going to call the first public hearing to order concerning the proposed ordinance amending Article 1701 to adopt the 2018 version of the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code. I'll turn to the administration for comments.
Council, good evening. The first public hearing is for the adoption of Article 1701, which is the new codes. Pennsylvania State adopted the 2018 International Building Codes as of February of 2022. We had our 30-day period to comment, review, make any amendments that we did, which we did. And then we solicit our amendments and everything to the state, and this is a required public hearing as a result of that. So the code changes really, the changes aren't significant enough. They're just very in detail in the code itself. It deals a lot with the construction and existing building and all that, and ADA codes and all that stuff that we deal with on the day-to-day.
Mr. Simonson, for members of the public and perhaps some members of council, can you just identify who you are, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mike Simonson. I'm the chief code official. I oversee the code enforcement and the housing departments for the city of Bethlehem.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Any other comments from the administration? Thank you, Mr. Simonson. I'll turn to members of council. Any questions or comments from Mr. Simonson, from members of council?
I have a quick question. Is Pennsylvania going to adopt the newer code? There is a newer code yet, isn't there?
Well, so Pennsylvania goes, they have what they call the RAC. It's a review advisory committee. And so this fall, they will start reviewing the 2021 codes. And then that's usually a 3 to 4 year process, believe it or not. So we will, the course of action, Pennsylvania will probably be adopting the 2021 code somewhere around 2024, 2025.
And we can't adopt ahead of them. We have to wait.
Well, now the legislation can adopt things, special provisions to the code that they may want to adopt in advance, or maybe adopt an addition of the 2021 code and bring it into play, as long as it's voted through the House and everything accordingly, then they can do that. We're kind of held to the standard. We could bring certain things in, certain things that are specific to Bethlehem. Like in here, we have like house traps, and that's one of the things that we require through our sewer and water department. But certain things we're not allowed to bring in.
For instance, things related to the number of bathrooms in a public facility in a
Well, the number of bathrooms is it's a standard set by the plumbing code, which is under the and it's a fixture count. So according to the International Plumbing Code, they just give us a straight it's a chart fixture count. This many occupants, you need this many of this and this many of that, and that's kind of what we're forced to handle at this time.
Right, I'm talking specifically about gender and bathrooms. So we couldn't as a city adopt the 2021 plumbing code with respect to the number of the required number of gender, women's rooms, men's rooms, the number of stalls, and being able to have perhaps more gender inclusive facilities.
What the 2021 code allows for additional fixtures. Okay, so what then it does is it you don't have to designate those fixtures. So what those fixtures then become are family-style bathrooms, which we do allow for in the 2018 and have in the 2015 and prior codes. It doesn't have language of gender-inclusive or gender-inclusive in the 2021 code. It just allows for the extra fixtures to be marked as family or multi-purpose or multi-use. So, unfortunately, I do agree with you, but the gender inclusive has not been brought into the construction codes at this time.
Okay, all right.
And Mr. Simons, let me just add to that, Ms. Kwiatkowski. This is a conversation that we had a long attempt about, to get to the crux of what your question is. And, we've approached that same level, that it's not something that we're able to do under what that code is. But that is absolutely our goal as well, to try to do that as soon as we are, when and if we are legally allowed to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the issue of it being designated as family is problematic in, you can imagine, for transgender folks to, use a public restroom is in and of itself a difficult, sensitive matter. Mm-hmm. And to have the restrooms marked family adds a whole layer of culture war potentialities that I think are troubling. So I was just asking the question to see if there was leeway for us to adopt newer pieces of the uniform code that Pennsylvania hasn't yet. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, unfortunately there's not. Unfortunately, I have been working with some of the universities and stuff. There is some provisions that they can do in addition to the family style restroom with signage and stuff like that, but unfortunately, no, it doesn't allow for it yet.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatkowski. Any other comments? Councilwoman Crancy-Smith.
Thank you. Thank you. I just had a question on page 2 about the appointment of the chief code official.
Yes.
I was just wondering, has that always been that way, or is this a revision? And is it truly an appointment, or is it a matter of posting the position and going through the interview process? I'm sorry, it's on page 2 under UCC
403.3. Well, the UCC, when it gets into the UCC 403.3 appointment, this is the UCC is written by the state. So that's the state chapter 403. So this is the actual Act 45, Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code. So this is standard language out of the under 403.3A appointment. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
There is language has been added to add. According to the chapter 403, you only need to have the building code official certification through the state of Pennsylvania. Bethlehem has added the accessibility inspector and plans examiner to that as part of that. And as far as an appointment, I don't know. When I interviewed for the position when I came here 4 years ago, so I wasn't appointed.
Okay. All right. That was my question. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Thank you, Mr. Simon.
Okay.
I will recognize any members of the public for comment. If anyone wants to speak on, have courtesy of the floor for this first public hearing. Starting on the left side of the room, any comments? Working our way through. All right, seeing none, thank you. Ordinance 9A is on tonight's agenda for first reading.
Thank you.
We're gonna move on to the second public hearing. It's now called to order concerning a request for the intermunicipal transfer of restaurant liquor license number R14009 from Valley Pizza Incorporated, 503 Old Main Street, P.O. Box 5, Walnut Port, Northampton County, to Montclair Meat and Food Corporation, 410 Montclair Avenue, Bethlehem, Northampton County. I will start by recognizing a representative of Montclair Meat and Food Corporation.
Good evening. My name is Dave Berger. I'm an attorney in Norris McLaughlin, the attorney representing the applicant, Montclair Meat and Food Corp. So this is with regards to the request of intermunicipal transfer of the liquor license R14009 to its property at 410 Montclair Avenue. This property is also known as the former A. Hart's Market. The applicant is planning on operating an Ideal Food Basket grocery store at the site, so the site's going to continue to remain a grocery store. Council may also know that the operator of this new grocery store is also the same operator of the C-Town grocery store, also within the city of Bethlehem. That store also has a liquor license, also offers the sale of beverages and food for takeout. What they're looking to do is really the same type of use and the same type of service and the same type of offerings at their C-Town store at this new store on Montclair Avenue. So with regards to the sale, it's going to be proposed offerings in beer, it's common domestic, craft beer as well, and then possibly wine sales should they want to obtain what's called a wine expanded permit. They are allowed to sell up to a 12-pack of beer, and then I believe it's 3 magnum bottles of wine in any one single transaction. The reason for requesting the intermunicipal transfer is that there are no existing licenses for sale in the municipality at the moment, and the municipality is over quota. The actual demand for liquor license, even in Northampton County, has skyrocketed ever since COVID started and ended. That's with regards to grocery stores getting involved, convenience stores getting involved in these restaurant liquor licenses. To support the sale of alcohol, there is going to be no exterior expansion of footprint of the market. So the footprint of the market will stay the same, but there is going to be an interior reconfiguration of the premises to allow for the sale of alcohol. There are going to be licensed areas and unlicensed areas. Because they can't sell everything that is sold in a grocery store in a licensed area, that is the reason for the demarcation. Regarding the hours of operation, the business is proposing to be open 7 days a week. The hours would be Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. The liquor code allows that alcohol can be sold at all of those times with the exception of 1 hour on Sundays. So from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the sale of alcohol cannot occur pursuant to the liquor code. Because the alcohol can only be sold from a licensed register, and that register will not be operating during that 1 hour, it's going to prevent the sale of alcohol at that time. With regards to any alcohol that's in coolers, those coolers will be locked for that 1 hour that they are open but can't sell alcohol, preventing any of those sales of alcohol during those times. With regards to security on the premises, the applicant plans on having a minimum of 60 cameras on site. 8 cameras covering the interior and the remaining cameras covering the, it's 8 cameras on the exterior, the remaining cameras for the interior of the premises. There is not going to be one single square footage of the interior of the premises not covered by a security camera. With regards to the licensed area, their steps are to design an effective retail corral at the site, which it means where the location of the register is going to be and the actual stock of those beverages. the person operating the register will have full view of that area in the store, and it's not going to be near any exit. So if anyone tries to walk away with any alcohol without paying for it, the person at the register will be able to see it, the people looking at the cameras will be able to see it, and will be able to prevent anyone from walking out of the store with alcohol. And because there will be a camera at that license register, all transactions are monitored by that camera, meaning any sales to minors would also be monitored and prevented. Doubling down on that, anyone who is operating that license register needs to be RAMP trained. RAMP is Responsible Alcohol Management. So anyone who's operating that register needs to be at least 18 years of age, has to take the server seller training. So in addition to any license board approved manager who's required to also take that training, they will be trained how to spot visibly intoxicated people, so no sales are occurred to visibly intoxicated people. And then they're instructed to ID everyone who looks under the age of 35. Lastly, there is no real plans of fostering on-premises consumption at the property. They can't out and out restrict it, but they can do things to prevent on-premises consumption. What I mean by that is they can restrict on-premises consumption to, say, one bottle of beer on the premises, and then they're allowed to ask people to leave and not consume any more, because they're not looking to allow really for on-premises consumption, that type of thing. So based on that, I have the applicant here with me. I'm certainly able to answer any questions, and the applicant is here as well, should council have any questions.
Thank you, Attorney Berger. Was there anything the applicant wants to add before I open it up to council?
Is there something
to add? Nope. All right. Well, I'll turn to members of council. Any questions or comments?
Just a quick question. With regard to on-premises consumption, would that be considered, is there going to be sort of an area where people will be eating and drinking on site?
Yeah, so because you have to use a restaurant liquor license, liquor control guidelines require that the licensed area has seating for 30 and food for 30. Granted, there's prepared food in the supermarket, so that satisfies the food for 30 requirement, and there will be seating for 30 in that licensed area. Just whether or not that seating is going to be utilized, it's there. It's not like it's used all the time at any of these supermarkets, honestly.
If there's not going to be an addition, so it's going to be the same square footage, is there going to be anything that's not going to be offered because of the amount of space that's going to be dedicated to alcohol, like fresh fruits, vegetables, or anything like that?
No. So you're still going to have the entire grocery store. We're just devoting a small section to seating. So the liquor control, the guidelines only really require 400 square feet devoted to a licensed area. So the majority of the store is going to still be a grocery store. It's going to be a very small section devoted to the alcohol sales.
I just want to say thank you for taking over and providing a grocery store in the old Ahars, because the community was really pretty naturally devastated when they left, so thank you.
And I'll just conclude comments. I don't really have any questions. Thank you, Attorney Berger. Thank you, Mr. Luna. Thank you to any other partners that are involved. As Councilwoman Cramsey Smith said, when Ahart's closed down, it created a big vacancy there in the Five Points area, as was discussed here at council and previous administrations, current administrations, things like that. And I appreciate any business is taking on some risk, any business that's selling alcohol taking on a little bit more risk. I know we were up here, I was up here at the time when C-Town came before council, and it's become more and more normal now that we see grocers selling beer, selling alcohol. I know there's a lot of thought that goes into it, whether from a loss prevention standpoint, with cameras, and obviously you don't want to get cited, so you're going through all the training and doing everything you need to, but I appreciate, as it relates to your other business with C-Town, never heard anything bad, and sometimes no news is good news, and I wish you nothing but the best in this investment and venture, and something that's really going to fill a big need over there on the south side, so thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
I'll recognize members of the public for public comment. I'll go around the room, starting on the left side, if anyone wants to make comment on the second public hearing. Nothing from the left. Anyone in the center? And concluding to my right. All right. The second public hearing is adjourned. Thank you. Moving on to our regularly scheduled council meeting, starting with the approval of minutes. Approval of minutes for the February 15, March 1, and March 15 meetings. Any comments on the minutes? Seeing none, minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment. We'll start with any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. I will start with anyone who signed up first, then I'll work my way around the room and then open it up. Excuse me. Open it up to our YouTube viewership if anyone's so inclined to call in. So for any subject not being voted on this evening, we have one person signed up, Mr. Artie Caratola.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola of 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a.k.a. Jay Creed in the entertainment world. I'm proud to have been a resident of Bethlehem, PA for over 73 years. Even when I lived and worked in New York City, Philly, Nashville, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, Chicago, Atlantic City, and other large cities in the U.S., I never gave up my residency. If God grants me to keep my health and serenity, I'll be running for a position at the next election, hopefully be an active member of the city council, if everybody agrees, and see all the seats are taken, so you can hang me from the ceiling, to the right, the left, I'm not particular, it's okay. I know actually there's a lot of people listening to our meeting tonight from other cities and countries throughout the world, because I'm a member, actually, I am the spokesman for the Lehigh Valley for the Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace Foundation, the world peace movement that is all throughout the world. And we do a Lehigh Valley stage once a year where we have entertainers. I have a whole hour segment to present entertainers, and I had a good deal of people. They did 26 hours. They planned only for 24 hours. This year they're planning for 48 hours on September 21st. It's also linked with the United Nations. So I let them know that Bethlehem is a good example of how a city council meeting works. And how it works, if you got some idea that's going to make things better for your city, speak at a city council meeting and get other people to speak. If the city council members feel it's right, they're the lawmakers that you elected, and the mayor is there to go ahead. And most cities throughout the country work that way, and even in other parts of the world. Some not quite as just as we are. But I was proud to look on the internet and find out that Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and if you look on the internet, is the sixth safest city in the United States. Not Pennsylvania, the United States, to live. Because we have a police department that's so powerful and uncorrupt. And we also have surveillance cameras and push for surveillance cameras of private corporations to use. And we have them all over the streets. Criminals don't want to be on candid camera. I leave my vehicle open a lot of times. My car door is open. I don't lock my house up a lot of times. There's no break-ins. I got no problems. I live on the south side of Bethlehem. Anyway, we are rated that, the sixth safest city. But wherever you live, I say speak your views at city hall meetings in front of the members. Google on YouTube, and you will hear at the last meeting on the 5th of April, in Bethlehem, residents spoke upon certain problems in the city. Only if they would have been nice, if the individuals speaking offered suggestions for solutions to solve the problems, like more porta potties or more street cleanings, so the Bethel Parking Authority can make more money, or alcohol, hand sanitizers, air fresheners to help the problems caused by the homeless, inebriated, and mentally challenged people who are refused to use the public restrooms in many restaurants and bars. After a handful plus one of taxpaying citizens who spoke for 38 minutes or some odd seconds, I headlined, and you can hear me speaking for 39 minutes, if you like, or you can read on my Facebook page, and jay.cred.75. My speech was geared more for a plus solution upon eliminating gun violence in all cities all over our planet, plus upon letting your voice be heard to make your city more safe and efficient. You can hear what I have to say and others anytime, and you can call in and ask questions wherever you are, in Philadelphia, California, the UK. You can hear what's going on in Bethel, Pennsylvania today, and every meeting that we do. And at this time and date, I have to add that people truly can have the love and respect for others if they have the love and respect for their parents and all living creatures. Because every living creature is a child of some parent out there. It states in the Bible that we're supposed to be the caretakers of all living beings. If we truly have the love of God, the creator of all living beings, in our heart, we should love and respect all of his creations. Unfortunately, I truly don't see much of that happening. The abuse of any living creature is the same as the abuse of any human being. Just that we want and feel that we need more things to be complete. Four-legged beings most likely look at us as hopeless and pathetic because we need to get into objects to get from point A to point B, when all they need is their four legs and feet. That's probably why they show us unconditional love, because they probably feel sorry for us. Cats and dogs are such loving beings who will, for the most part, give unconditional love. It's, you know, if we accept them, I don't know how you feel, but I feel that the articles for animal abuse need to be amended by city council and reinforced by our police officers, that anyone who mistreats them should, beyond a doubt, be heavily fined, imprisoned, and punished. I strongly feel that abuse of any creature is no less than the abuse of a child of a human being, because they, like we, are animals of another mother's child. We, the people of all nations, have to push the leaders who make and enforce the articles that place laws in motion to make the penalties more severe for crimes of violence.
Mr. Piertola, I'm going to politely ask you to start bringing your remarks.
I'll wind it up. I guess I've got three more sentences.
Understood.
So, anyway, you need to go to city council meetings, wherever you are, speak, make the articles of the laws more strict. The mayor and the chief of police and others who enforce the laws, they're there at those meetings. So make sure that you tell all your friends and followers and constituents to get your 5 minutes in at each and every meeting to let your voice be heard if you have something to say. If you don't, you're venting your words like dust in the wind. If you speak out, you may help your city be greater. Keep in mind, because greater cities equal a greater nation, and greater nations equal a greater world. I'm Artie Curatola of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in the USA. D.O.D. Benedict, may God bless and be with you always.
Thank you, Mr. Curatola. That was the only person signed up to speak for first public comment on anything not being voted on this evening. So I will, as is customary, start on the left side of the room and work my way around. Is there anyone on the left side of the room who wants to make comment tonight? Mr. Rodriguez?
Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, Bethlehem. Yeah, I'm here tonight with reference to what's going on with the Linden Street, converting it into a two-way, and also Center Street. But I went up and down Linden Street just the other day, and I had invited some folks to speak at the council meeting, like myself and others, but apparently not too many showed up. There is one gentleman that will speak tonight on a different matter, but closer to what we're all discussing. I would graciously ask that, because I left a message with Mike Galka's office, and I spoke to two of his secretaries, right from the area on Linden Street, for better signage on Linden Street and connecting streets until this study takes place. Because right now, presently, we're seeing a lot of preventable issues. Those better signage, like the one-on-one post that has a curved one-way sign bent on one side, and if you look on the other side, it's bent on the other side. So that doesn't give too much of a bird's eye view that, or indication that this is a one-way. The other thing I'm asking for is do not enter signs, not just one on one post, have it on both posts on the connecting one-way so that people do not enter those streets. And that is also preventable until this study is done. I spoke to the barbershop, Legends, and there was quite a number of people there. And really, I don't want to mention just that, but I did speak to 30 businesses at least, that they don't want this one-way converted into a two-way at all. So I don't know where you're getting this, that the businesses and the residents. I did not speak to residents because they were not in the area at that particular time. Either they were out, not showing their faces on in the area, or that they were connecting some other type of business in their home life. But whoever I spoke to, they're concerned about the meters. They definitely do not want the meters back. Some businesses, like the Bar and Grill on Linden Street, is only concerned that it will affect their business better for them because it'll bring in more customers. I was in that Bar and Grill, and I spoke to the owner and substitute managers. They do not want the meters either, but they do want the area to be converted into a two-way because it makes it a lot easier for them just to go around the corner and bingo, there's their business, and they can park anywhere they want. But they're not thinking about the other issues that those two ways will be creating. So I'm asking you, really, I will be talking to others. I don't think that this is the right move for this city with regards to that two-way conversion and also Center Street. I haven't been up that section, but if you know me well enough, I will speak to people. Liberty High School, I'm talking about the shortage of crossing guards. Why is there a shortage of crossing guards now? If you convert these two ways, the one way into a two way, we're going to have issues by Liberty High School, safety wise. And that's another major concern. Right now, as we're speaking, and I've spoken about this over the years, with issues with Liberty High School and the students that cross, not at the corner, not at the green, but in the middle of vehicles that are either stopped or trying to stop or continually trying to get on their destination, and these students are taking a chance. They're unsafe, and they're not making it safe for others, especially drivers. And they're not making it safe for those folks that are trying to get their children to that high school. That's another major issue. So I'm wishing somehow that you get more crossing guards if they're available, if the funds are there in that area and other areas of the city. Because I see that there are other areas that there are shortages of those crossing guards. Speeding. I've mentioned this a couple of times. I'm very concerned about Linden Street and the speeding that happens there. The reason I want these better signage is posted on the traffic lights post, particularly right in front. This is the traffic light facing upward. You can put something there. Hopefully Mike Alco will see to that. That's done to the street department. Better signage in that area with reference to that. If these individuals are going into from any street, east or west, into Linden Street, that they will see that you're not supposed to be going left onto left onto Linden Street. That makes it more preventable, more safe. And at a further distance so that I'd be able to visualize this. Right now, you do not have that. It's not safe on Linden Street, period. And I'm very concerned about that. And so are your businesses concerned. And when I get to the residents, I'm going to see if I can get some folks to talk about this and the safety of that community and the changeover from a one-way to a two-way. Hopefully, I can get folks up here that will talk about it. That's my statement tonight with reference to that. But I got, if you allow me another, please, one last message.
I'll politely ask you to also wrap it up.
I'll wrap it up. I will make this as quickly as possible. This is for Attorney Henry Newton in Easton. The day you disrespected me, and you'll see it on YouTube, you were wrong about it. I did not disrespect you. You disrespected me. And you don't have the courage to come up and admit it. Please do so so that things will change, because you trusted me in the long run. And you should be able to change over the message that you have within your heart and make sure that I am awarded visiting rights for Catherine Weiss. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else on the left-hand side who would like to speak tonight on anything not being voted on this evening? Seeing none, moving on to the center. Is there anyone who wants to? Gentlemen up front. Just a reminder, if you could please state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Jan David Sabin, 920 Sassafras Street, South Bethlehem. I'm here also to speak about the proposed changing of one-way streets. I've been in transportation for 45 years. I was a Teamster. I also drove taxi on some weekends for a year and a half. I was born and raised in Bethlehem my whole life. And I saw the changes, and I was happy with the changes as far as one way. Center Street and Linden Street are vital to remain one way, to move traffic, to move emergency vehicles, to move also deliveries to all the small businesses on Linden Street. If it's made back to two-way again, trying to move a fire truck or any emergency vehicles, police, anything down a two-way street that was one way, which was good, is a terrible mistake. Now, I understand people that live there might want to have it for them to make it a little easier. They don't have to go a couple extra blocks. But as far as moving large amounts of traffic, one-way streets are one of the best ways you can do it, because you're basically holding up traffic having a two-way street. When there's any kind of big deal in town, when there's any kind of emergency as far as fire trucks, anything like that, it's just a very backward step from what I've seen all over the East Coast as far as traffic, circles, one-ways, everything like that. I've seen it all, and I realized that one-way streets that Bethlehem did do engineering surveys on to begin with when they changed over to the one-ways, they were right on the money. Now, we have a lot of things going on in Bethlehem as far as Music Fest and all Celtic Fest, everything else. And one-way traffic is the way to move heavy volumes of traffic safely out of the city and into the city. We have a big problem with the Hill to Hill Bridge being backed up as far as St. Luke's ambulances getting to it. St. Luke's, that campus is actually going to be downgraded, and Anderson over at Route 33 is going to be the main campus for St. Luke's because of the traffic problems getting into St. Luke's, because of the Hill to Hill Bridge problems. Every day is backed up. There's nothing you can do about that, but as far as changing Center Street and Linden Street back to two-way, absolutely terrible idea. It's a giant step backwards. For the one or two good things it might do, it's going to cause 10 things that are bad. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming out tonight, sir. Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make comment to council tonight? Gentlemen up top. Sir, I remind you, this is Bethlehem City Council. I just want to make sure you know where you are.
Thank you, Council President Cologne. And I want to thank men and women of Bethlehem City Council for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And you can start the clock. We only give people 3 minutes in Allentown, so I promise not to use all of my five. I'll cede it to the next person. But I just wanted to offer a note of appreciation to members of council and to Mayor Reynolds' administration for continuing to work in close collaboration with us in the city of Allentown and in the region. And the reason that I came here tonight was just to offer a note of an ask, basically, that Bethlehem City Council continue to support an administration that understands the value of regional collaboration. There are a lot of issues that we face in Allentown that are common with issues that you face here in the city of Bethlehem. One that I'm very familiar with from the years that I spent working for our Regional Economic Development Corporation is the value of regional collaboration around economic development. The work to bring jobs and investment to our region pays off for all of our cities, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, and all of the other municipalities and et cetera in this region. What we found in Allentown is that we benefit almost as much from a job here in Bethlehem as we do for a job in Allentown. It's a job that our residents can get to, and there's tremendous value there. So continuing to collaborate through organizations like the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation pays tremendous benefits to our entire region. One area of issue in the city of Allentown that I know is an issue here in the city of Bethlehem as well is housing. This is an issue that we face across the city, across the region. And to echo things that I have heard Mayor Reynolds say in conversations between the two of us and conversations with the public in the past is that our housing issue is, in fact, a regional issue. It is a question of tremendous demand for living here in the Lehigh Valley, here in Bethlehem, in my city in Allentown, not being kept up with by the supply of housing. So an encouragement to members of City Council to work in collaboration with our regional entities to afford people across this region the opportunity to live in quality housing, whether it be here in Bethlehem or in Allentown or in our neighboring municipalities. Health is another one that is an important regional issue that is important for us to collaborate closely on. We're coming out of COVID. We saw from our experiences in COVID that the opportunities that things like pathogens don't really consider political boundaries, and that the things that affect the health of our residents in Allentown have a tremendous impact on the health of the residents here in Bethlehem. So again, continued work together around that regional issue is important. One that you may have seen and appreciate Mayor Reynolds involving members of the Bethlehem Police Department and Chief Cott on that is an issue that's bothering us tremendously in Allentown, which is dirt bikes, and an issue that affects you in Bethlehem and in our neighbors. I was tremendously appreciative of the regional effort to engage in a dirt bike task force that we're convening in the city of Allentown to try to come up with solutions, not just to curtail this unacceptable activity in our streets, but to find alternatives for the individuals that are seeking to enjoy themselves in that way. These variety of regional collaborations are important to the quality of life in our cities. We will continue to make all of our data, make all of our effort available to administration here in Bethlehem, work collaboratively on best practices to do better, and work collaboratively to promote our downtowns in Bethlehem to our residents in Allentown, and vice versa, making sure that we all benefit and are able to enjoy this great Lehigh Valley, whether it's here in the city of Bethlehem or in Allentown or Easton or anywhere else you choose. So it's really just an expression of gratitude to this administration and to the members of council to continuing to invest in these regional efforts for the benefit of all of our Lehigh Valley. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming out, Mayor Turk. I appreciate it. I think we'll figure out who you are for the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Matt Turk, 46 South 16th Street, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Is there anyone else in the center, Mr. Antalix?
Stephen Antalix, 737 Ridge. If one were to take a long-term view of the interaction between the public at large and the city council, a term in physics would pretty well explain it. And that would be the sine wave. The sine wave is a continuous curve which has peaks and valleys. And exchanges between people on this side and that side have had their peaks and valleys. And the valleys recently, where members of council were reading, talking to each other, and ignoring the speaker. And in some cases, a member of council accuses people here of meeting like some cabal before the meeting to attack council. So it became adversarial. And in some cases, people on council got into heated discussions with people on this side for valid questions they had made. So, and at that time, I used an analogy. If anyone saw or attended Wagner's Parsifal, it's a very profound opera. And some people in council took upon themselves, when the light came from heaven to the Knights of the Round Table, that they were sanctified, like clergy, and sometimes people take an oath, take on an air that they're better than what they were as common people. But I might say that I'm impressed with this present council simply because you're all looking at me. In some cases, I've seen you take notes from people, and that's a very welcome change. And also, by the comments made in terms of concern for Southside history, they've been very positive. So that I have a sense that we may be getting out of the valley and reaching a peak. And from that, I would suggest, in everyone's best interest, that council continue that upward motion, because from the citizen point of view, it's commendable and appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment before I work my way back around the room? Is there anyone on the right who'd like to make comment? Was there anyone I missed? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Eaton Avenue. I wasn't planning on saying anything, but the comments tonight have forced me to recollect a piece of historic trivia. The very first person to instill one-way streets was Julius Caesar, and we know what happened to him. Thank you.
Thanks for coming out, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else who wants to make comment tonight? So I will, as we have been, turn to our local and global YouTube audience. Anyone who wants to call in will have an opportunity to dial 610-997-7963. Again, that phone number for anyone watching at home who wants to make comments via phone is 610-997-7963. Seeing no callers, we're going to continue on to our second public comment for any ordinances or resolutions that are to be voted on this evening. No one had signed up to speak for second public comment, so again, I'll work my way around the room. Is there anyone to the left? Anyone in the center? Anyone to the right? Anyone at home? Your last chance to call in at 610-997-7963. And hearing none, we will continue to move on through tonight's agenda. Old business, any old business from members of council? Seeing none, continuing on. Move on to communications. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michelle Cott, Chief of Police, recommending a resolution for adoption of George Mounted Unit Equine to the Friends of the Bethlehem Mounted Police. George was purchased in 2009 with federal funding through the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. Per grant guidelines, the transfer will commence at a fair market value of $500.
And Resolution 10E is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the third class city code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
And Resolution 10F is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6C.
Memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the third class city code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10G is also on tonight's agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Farmer and Sons Electric Incorporated for EC traffic signal upgrades. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $97,997. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Mohawk Contracting and Development, LLC, for GC traffic signal upgrades. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $77,357. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10I is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Police Department. The Police Chief has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the May 3rd City Council agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller Carner, Deputy Director of Community and Economic Development, to which is attached two required resolutions for administration of the Redevelopment Assistant Capital Program for the purposes of assisting Collaboration 3 LLC with the Goodman Building Project in the amount of $1,500,000 and LVHN Incorporated and LVH Muhlenberg with the LVH Muhlenberg Intensive Care Unit Project in the amount of $1 million.
Resolutions 10J and 10K are on tonight's agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated third amendment to use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is Music Fest for 2022, 2023, and 2024. The third amendment to use permit agreement covers festival sites, streets, and such other agreements and documents as are deemed necessary by the city solicitor.
And resolution 10L is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6I.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement for public property. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2022 Kentucky Derby Watch Party from 2 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on May 7th, 2022 and covers First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
And resolution 10M is on the agenda. And that concludes all of our communications. Moving on to reports, I have nothing. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, President Colon. Just a couple things. One is to follow up on, I do want to thank Mayor Chirk for coming out today. You know, the mayor and I talk a lot about these common issues that we face as a Lehigh Valley. The two biggest ones we talk about are homelessness and affordable housing. And the problems are regional. And the solutions are regional as well. And, you know, we have said often that the ability of us to solve those problems and make progress will come down to our ability to work as a region and work outside of the city. So I do want to thank, Mayor Turk for that, for coming out today. I have three administrative orders. The first one is I hereby reappoint Diana Hodgson, 1109 West Market Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Board of Historical and Architectural Review, and this appointment is effective through January 2027.
Any discussion on the appointment? I ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. I hereby appoint Nick Nikoloff, 130 East Wall Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Board of Historical and Architectural Review, and this appointment is effective through January 2025.
Any discussion? Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Also passes 7-0.
And my last administrative order is I hereby reappoint Connie Postapak, 97 West Broad Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Board of Historical and Architectural Review, and this appointment is effective through July 2024.
Any discussion?
I just wanted to thank the administration for providing the resumes for these individuals. It's really helpful to know the background and experience of each person being appointed, so thank you.
Absolutely. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Also passes 7-0.
Thank you. Also, we had talked about it last time, but I think we haven't had it live since. We do have our pandemic recovery platform, We Build Bethlehem, that it is now up and running. We will be talking more in the future about how we're going to utilize that, and that's actually a platform we're going to use to show progress with a lot of different initiatives that we're using. But that went live on the day of the State of the City on April 7th. So we're going to be reaching out to individual council members and institutions throughout the city to really try to get that to as many people as possible. So we'll be talking more about that. But if you haven't had an opportunity now to go and kind of vote and share your opinion on where we should be spending not only ARPA dollars but also time and you know our staff kind of priorities, please have an opportunity to do that. You know, we worked really hard to get that up and running and it's got some good reviews, but it's going to come down to how effective are we as a city and a community getting that out to as many people as possible. And I know a couple of you have commented on that, so I do want to thank you for that. And then the last part of the report is, I know we have talked before about our the position that we created in the budget last year, the Deputy Community Development Director position. That's going to work in Ms. Collins and Ms. Carner's department. And, you know, one thing that we talked about last year in the budget was the idea that that position was created to kind of help to lead our pandemic recovery and focus on those issues like affordable housing and homelessness, and, you know, really take a look at how our most vulnerable citizens were affected by the pandemic and how, as a city, we need to kind of create that systemic recovery. Once again, not just with the ARPA dollars, but also with how we necessarily are going to set up City Hall, set up the director, or set up the Department of Community Economic Development, and how are we going to help people that are likely never to walk through that door, they're never going to email us, that are never going to reach out. So, you know, when we took a look and went out and had conversations and talked to a lot of different people, we were trying to think about both knowledge of City Hall, experience and understanding, the experience of those citizens most affected by the pandemic, understanding the complexities of issues like affordable housing, looking for a work ethic, a passion, and also the big thing for our team is always trying to find an outsider's view, is that we're trying to bring in people that maybe have not worked in City Hall before, but that have not worked in the public sector, but come at this work from you know, being strong new voices as far as what they can add to our collective work, not just within City Hall, but within our community. So this person is going to be focused on pandemic recovery, Northside 2027, Southside Tomorrow, affordable housing, homelessness. They're going to start in a couple weeks, and I'm proud to announce that that person is going to be Sarah Cetullo, who is leaving Lehigh Valley Live to come work for the City of Bethlehem and join our team. And we could not be more excited about that as someone that's going to come to build on the work that she's done over the past 6, 7, 8 months that's really gotten down into what the pandemic has done for both people within our community and issues such as affordable housing. I've been fortunate to call Sarah a friend for a long time, and you know, we are just super excited that she will be in City Hall and making that walk some days from the West Side over here to City Hall and out in our community. And she's been putting in a lot of time in the last couple of weeks, you know, emailing, texting, meeting, trying to get up to speed on a lot of the things that we're doing. So we wanted to, I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Moving on through tonight's agenda, ordinances for final passage. We have one. If the clerk will read Bill 7 of 2022.
An ordinance of the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, determining to incur debt in the principal amount not to exceed $50 million, determining that such debt shall be incurred as lease rental debt to be evidenced by a series of subseries of guaranteed water revenue bonds, series of 2022, or such other designation as may be appropriate, to be authorized and to be issued by Bethlehem Authority, briefly describing the projects for which said debt is to be incurred and specifying the realistic and remaining useful lives of said project financed and refinanced thereby, authorizing and directing the mayor, the president of council, the city controller, the city treasurer, the business administrator of the city, clerk of the city to prepare, verify, and file, as applicable, the debt statement and other appropriate documents required by the local government Unit Debt Act 53 PACS Section 8001 et sec, as amended and supplemented, and upon receipt of approval of the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, to execute, attest, acknowledge, and deliver as appropriate a 9th supplemental contract and lease between the authority as lessor and the city as lessee, supplementing a contract and lease dated as of January 1st, 1992. As heretofore amended and supplemented between said authority as lessor and the city as lessee, and guarantee agreement with respect to aforesaid bonds, approved the forms of said 9th supplement contract and lease and said guarantee agreement, consenting to the assignment of said 9th supplemental contract and lease by the authority as security to the Bank of New York Mellon as trustee under a trust indenture dated as of January 1st, 1992, as heretofore supplemented and amended, and as further supplemented and amended by a 7th supplemental trust indenture, and authorizing delivery of said guarantee agreement to said trustee, specifying the maximum lease rentals to be paid by the city pursuant to said ninth supplemental contract lease and the source of payment of such lease rentals, guaranteeing payment of the principal of and interest on aforesaid bonds and making certain covenants with respect thereto, specifying the maximum amount of the guarantee obligations of the city pursuant to such guarantee agreement, pledging the full faith, credit, and taxing power of the city with respect to the guarantee agreement, and providing for proper officers of the city to take all other required, necessary, or desirable related action in connection with said project, said ninth supplemental contract and lease, and said guarantee agreement. Bill 7, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Mr. Colon.
I hope everyone caught all that. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Any discussion from members of council? I see Mr. Shear is also here again tonight. I have none other than this is something we had talked about at previous council, and this is, of course, is the second reading and final passage. So seeing no comments, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to new ordinances, the clerk will read Bill 8 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 1701 of the codified ordinances entitled Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code by adopting the 2018 Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code. Bill 08-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Bill 9, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 157 of the codified ordinances of the City of Bethlehem titled Civil Service Board. Bill 09-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Colon.
Discussion?
I just had a question. I guess I'm just wondering on page 3, what's the rationale for deleting the Civil Service Board from grievances and appeals and just having it on City Council? I guess I'm not sure who can answer that.
Good evening. I'm Matthew Deschler. I'm one of the assistant solicitors. The reason for this change in their proposed change in the ordinance is that under the state civil service statute, there are two options for proceeding on a grievance. One, you can go to city council, the governing body. The other is to the civil service board. Now, the default is that it's the governing body who would hear the grievance. So only if city council were to designate by ordinance the civil service board as a hearing body, would the civil service board be the hearing body. Because it has not been designated, the default remains status quo. So if there is a grievance that proceeds through the civil service process, as it stands today, city council would be the hearing body. This proposed change is just to clarify that city council would be the hearing body, not the civil service board. What our civil service ordinance did when it was enacted back in 2014, it just sort of mimicked the language in the State Civil Service Act without making a choice between City Council as a hearing body versus the Civil Service Board as the hearing body. So I thought the feeling was that to clarify that, we would just eliminate the references to the Civil Service Board to adopt the default rule, which is that City Council is the hearing body. There are substantive reasons for that, one being that because in the event that there would be a grievance presented to City Council, you have your own solicitor who can advise you at no additional cost, whereas I advise the Civil Service Board, and there would be a conflict there inherently, because obviously one of these city employees would be pursuing the grievance before the Civil Service Board. We may need to retain outside counsel at additional expense. I would just note that this is something that's a concern that needs to be addressed.
But in the event that council would be concerned about being inundated with civil service grievances, I can assure you that would not be the case, because outside the civil service process, we have the collective bargaining grievance process, and you can only choose, you can select one or the other. They are mutually exclusive options. And because the collective bargaining route is much more attractive to a firefighter or police officer who would claim a grievance, they almost always choose that route. In the time I've been here, so going on 9+ years, I think we've had two that have tried to go the civil service route, but that didn't go very far because they weren't the sort of employees or didn't receive the type of discipline that could even qualify them to grieve it through the civil service process. So it's very rare that this body would be hearing any grievances. In fact, you haven't in the time I've been here. And again, you are currently the default body that would hear any civil service grievance.
Thank you. So nothing's really changing. It's just like you're cleaning up the language.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll just say, excuse me, briefly before I turn to our solicitor for his input, but briefly I just would say, thank you, Mr. Deschler. You and I had a conversation, and Councilwoman Cramsey Smith, when I first read this, I think I kind of perked up a little bit and reached out to Mr. Deschler, and then after his clarification, I also reached out to Michelle Shahaki, our HR director, to see how many of these grievances or how many of these disciplines rise to that level that can be grieved, and it's a small number a year. And in her recollection, there has never been, obviously there's never been a grievance coming here to City Council, and there was never one in her recollection that ever went to the Civil Service Board. So as Mr. Deschler said, as it relates to the collective bargaining route, it's attractive enough that no one ever uses the alternative. And if for some reason we find ourselves changing the norm here, and then we start getting swamped with these grievances, well then we could have that conversation. But in the years and years that anyone's been around, this has never really been anything that's went to, and as it reads now, it could go to the Civil Service Board or City Council, and it's just never happening. So I appreciate you coming out tonight, Mr. Deschler. And then Mr. Pinella, did you just want to...
Just briefly for City Council, Mr. Deschler and I did have a conversation about this amendment as well. I would largely agree with everything Mr. Deschler explained. This is, in my opinion, as Mr. Deschler put it, a cleaning up of language. This isn't removing an option, or it's not substantially changing the process, because that collective bargaining agreement does still exist. And because that collective bargaining agreement exists, it's really not a substantial change, with the exception of just some words inside of an ordinance. So I just wanted to quickly assure council that I agree with everything Mr. Deschler is saying after a careful review of this and an extended conversation with him.
Thank you, Mr. Pinnell. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enitz?
Aye.
Ms. Gwadek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Bill 10, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 1733 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled International Property Maintenance Code. Bill 1022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatic?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to resolutions, clerk will read Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the street name of Northeastern Road from Apple Butter Road to the city line is hereby changed to Skyline Drive. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion? I just had one quick question for the administration, perhaps Mr. Alcohol. As it relates to, did you get any feedback from anyone who's going to be impacted by this, anyone that owns property on any of these streets that are being changed?
I believe there's only 5 properties in total that are impacted. I'd have to check with engineering if they reach out to any of them, but it really shouldn't be.
Nothing that you've been made aware of.
Right.
Understood. Thank you, Mr.
And in fact, some of them already, like where we're changing it to Eastern Road, some of them use that already and they dropped the S, the south on their own.
Great, thank you. Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Gladick?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Willenholm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the street name of South Easton Road between Cherry Lane and Ringhofer Road is hereby changed to Easton Road. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Gladick?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved that Montclair Meat and Food Corporation has requested the approval of the City Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, for the proposed transfer of Pennsylvania restaurant liquor license number R14009, currently held by Valley Pizza Incorporated, by Montclair Meat and Food Corp. to retail restaurant facilities within the City of Bethlehem to be located at 410 Montclair Avenue, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, with the understanding that said transfer must be approved at a later date by the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, and be it further resolved that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem has held a properly advertised public hearing pursuant to the notice provisions of Section 102 of Liquor Code to receive comments on the proposed liquor license transfer, and be it further resolved that the City Council approves by adoption of this resolution the proposed intermunicipal transfer restaurant liquor license number R14009 into the City of Bethlehem by Montclair Meats and Food Corporation, and be it further resolved that transfers, designations, and assignments of licenses hereunder are subject to approval by the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the above-cited Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of Department of Community and Economic Development Health Bureau records. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Gladick?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem is authorized pursuant to 11 PACS Section 12402.1 of the Third Class City Code to dispose of personal property by sale or otherwise upon approval by City Council via resolution. Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the following personal property is hereby approved to be sold by the Bethlehem Police Department. One retired horse, George, and sold to the Friends of Bethlehem Mounted Police, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Any discussion? Ms. Leon?
You could just wish Georgia happy retirement. Yeah. I will. Thank you.
It's in the resolution. You can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer.
From personal.
Dr. Van Wert.
I'm just dotting an I here. He's going to retire and stay there, right? He's not going to go anywhere else after that.
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Would you let us know if you ever find out that that's not the case?
Absolutely. Okay. I know prior, back in 2015, Raven was the most recent horse that we retired, and he was retired to a retirement farm outside of Kutztown where we still are able to go and visit him. But I believe the Friends of plan on keeping George at the Quadrant Well facility so that people can come by and still visit him.
Okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
That's my only question.
And any promises between George and Raven about hanging out after they retired, we're not speaking for those.
So. FaceTime, sir. FaceTime.
Yes. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Quincy Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Now there be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun to Matthew Lazur, a retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-1. We'll read Resolution 10G.
Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun to Timothy Cooper, a retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion?
Mr. Cologne, I just wanted to follow up on a conversation we had earlier, is that the chief has done some research, as has our legal department, about what we're able to do with these funds. And we are still trying to find the easiest legal way to be able to put those funds where we want it to go. But that being said, rest assured our creativity and ideology is on it. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Moving on to Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor and hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Armor & Sons Incorporated for EC traffic signal upgrades.
Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with MOVA Contracting and Development LLC for GC traffic signal. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? We will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10J.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Northampton County hereby requests $1,500,000 through the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Grant Program of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to assist Collaboration 3 LLC with the Goodman Building Project. Be it further resolved that the Mayor and the City Controller be authorized to enter into a cooperation agreement with Collaboration 3 LLC for project administration of said project, and be it further resolved that the City Clerk of Bethlehem is directed to execute a certificate attesting to the adoption of this resolution and to furnish a copy of the resolution to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion?
I just want to, this is a pass-through, this is a formality when a nonprofit is, or you know, is applying for RACP funds, correct? So we're really, you know, not on the hook for the local share. I want to speak this into the public record, so people understand that we're not giving up $1.5 million to anybody, that we are acting more as an administrative pass-through for these funds, if they are successful in obtaining them.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions, Dr. Van Wert?
I just wanted to take a minute also for more for the people at home, perhaps the people in this room, to understand that, yes, this is a pass-through from the state, so the city doesn't have any financial obligation here. But I was wondering if Ms. Carner might be able to speak to the process in general, just a couple minutes, about who selects these projects? How do you, it's done by the state. I think it's done a lot with Senator Boscola's office. But like, does the city help prioritize this over this, or nominate people? How does that whole process work? And then what happens if you don't spend that money within a certain amount of time? I'm assuming there is a time frame at which it must be spent. And then my final question is, who are the principals for Collaboration 3 LLC?
So this process starts with an itemization act. So we are requested by the local legislators to put forward projects. Sometimes we put forward very specific projects, like the Goodman Building project, and sometimes we put forward very generic line items to give us flexibility moving forward. To be funded, you have to be in an itemization act even before there's ever consideration of a project. It's a very easy process to go through. Sometimes it happens every other year, sometimes it doesn't happen for 5 years. So to project into the future what we think we're going to need is sometimes a bit of a challenge. But then what happens is the process was changed, probably under Governor Wolf, although it might go back to Corbett, where these applicants have to actually submit a business plan to be considered for funding. And then there is some consideration given to the elected officials on what projects they're going to fund, how they're going to prioritize. And so there always are a lot of conversations, not just by city officials, but also by the principals in some of these projects or at institutions to fund what their project is. And so sometimes you'll see some money is attributed to Senator Boscola, Senator Brown, Representative Samuelson. You know, they all take a piece of the project to try to fund it in a lot of instances. So once that happens, we do become the pass-through. There is no liability on us. And so we help them, but I would say limitedly, to finalize the business plan. The state hires third-party consultants to really manage that process for them and for us. And so we collect the information and we kind of jointly submit it to complete the project. It is all reimbursement, so there is nothing where they'll get a check for $1.5 million and we have no understanding as to whether or not that money's spent. That did happen many years ago, and there's a couple of projects that convinced them they needed to change course. There is a bit of a timeline, although there are a lot of extensions that are granted. NMIH, for example, have been awarded funds in the early 2000s and didn't spend those until 2015 or 17 or something along those lines. So you can get extensions on these funds typically. The principals, though, in this Collaboration 3 include Dewey Engineering and Alloy 5.
Okay. My last question was about, it's completely left my mind. I remember. It was, we had topics on council a few years ago about back taxes due. And is there, even though this is a pass-through, if these people are owing a significant amount of taxes to the city of Bethlehem, is that just kind of like put aside and they get the money anyways? Or are we still tracking these things from developers who may owe money in other buildings?
Our threshold is typically $5,000 cumulatively, so not just on any one project, but on the properties they own. And so, yes, we do make sure that they understand that to work with us, that is something that they need to be current. We've not taken meetings with people who owe us funding, and so that is something we take very seriously. And so in this instance, I don't know that we have a legal mechanism to withhold funding because it is state funding and we're just the pass-through, but that has been our stance as the city.
Okay. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Any other questions for Ms. Carner? Thank you, Ms. Carner. The last comment I'll say real quick is just, as I spoke a couple meetings ago, we were talking about trail extension. And I recognize these are long projects, long processes, identifying funding. This is another example, the Goodman Building, that's been on a lot of our radar for a lot of years, involved in the courts at times, and a lot of time and energy has gone into it. So even though it's not City of Bethlehem dollars that are going into that, it's definitely a good project to see that's going to be rehabilitated, go on the tax rolls, and really be a welcome addition to that part of town. So thank you. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10K.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Lehigh County hereby requests $1 million through the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Grant Program of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to assist LVHN Incorporated and LVH Muhlenberg with the LVH Muhlenberg Intensive Care Unit Project. Be it further resolved that the Mayor and City Controller be authorized to enter in cooperation agreement with LVHN Incorporated and LVH Muhlenberg for the purpose of the project. And be it further resolved that the City Clerk of Bethlehem is directed to execute a certificate attesting to the adoption of this resolution and to furnish a copy of the resolution to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10L.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a third amendment to use permit agreements with Arts Quest for Music Fest 2022, Music Fest 2023, and Music Fest 2024 for the use of festival sites, streets, and other agreements and documents as are deemed by this solicitor to be necessary and or related thereto. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion?
Yes, I know that I echo the feelings of many when I say that I'm really pleased about this decision. I personally feel that our City Hall Plaza should be a place where the community gathers regularly, and it should have that energy. And, you know, I think the last time I sort of had that feeling was when people were playing Pokemon Go. And I saw people just wandering around City Hall Plaza, and I was not playing myself. No shame if I had been, but I just remember seeing people gathered there unexpectedly, and what a delight it was. So to me, the more that we can do to create more of a community gathering space on City Hall Plaza, the better, and I hope this is the beginning of a new trend.
Any other? Ms. Leo?
I'm excited to see it at City Hall Plaza as well. I'm more introverted and prefer the library, and I'm noticing an hour kind of layover between Payroll Plaza being used for Music Fest and the library. So I was wondering if we could expect maybe an early closure of the library. Have we coordinated with the library? Because I feel like that might affect the library's quiet space if we have Music Fest going on.
Yeah, we will certainly talk to them about that. You know, Music Fest here on the plaza is not expected to start, as you know, until later on in the afternoon, partly for those reasons, and also for City Hall employees. We want them staying in here. But we will absolutely have those conversations with the library to try to make sure it's as smooth as possible in that transition.
And I'll third what was already said. I remember when it'd been back here, you know, years ago, and I know they're looking, they had a naming contest to see what it's going to be named out here on Payroll Plaza. I can already picture all the social media photos looking out to the south side and everybody capturing our nice streetscape and everything like that. So I'm a bit of an old soul at times, and I was concerned Music Fest was going to keep moving to the wonderful Steel Stacks campus, so I'm glad they're expanding their space over here on the north side some. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest from 2 to 8 p.m. May 7th, 2022 for the 2022 Kentucky Derby Watch Party. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10N.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and a Bethlehem Resolution is hereby granted for 439 First Avenue to replace existing roof shingles and install new synthetic roof underlayment, ice and water shield, ridge vent, and drip edge. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? We will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Lastly, Resolution 10-0.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and a Bethlehem Resolution is hereby granted for 55 West Market Street to remove the old roof shingles and install ice and water shield, new synthetic roof underlayment, and white drip edge. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? We will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Any new business from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I just wanted to make an announcement that tomorrow night is the final community meeting for the Bethlehem Pedestrian Bridge Project feasibility study. So after enormous amounts of work from the community itself, the city and the county funded a feasibility study, and there's been a series of public meetings to figure out what does the public want in terms of what this pedestrian bridge could look like. Where should it go? What are the elevations? What are the concepts behind it, biking and pedestrian use? Tomorrow night is the final ability for the citizens to give input on what it should look like, and it's a very serious process in terms of taking the opinions of the citizens into account into the design of this bridge. So it's tomorrow night, it's virtual, and you can find all the information about it at the Bethlehem Pedestrian Bridge website, which is www.bridgebethlehem.com. It's at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, and the link to get onto the Zoom is there, and all public is welcome to contribute and put their ideas forward about what they think is important for this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other new business from members of council? Ms. Kwiatek?
In my capacity as liaison to the Blighted Property Review Committee, I attended a meeting today at which one property moved forward in the blighting process, but about a dozen were taken off of the blighting process, and it was very pleasing to me to see so many properties that perhaps had been looked upon as worthless turn into housing for people, regulated rentals, all with clean certificates of occupancy. So more housing on our streets. So anyway, that's all.
Thank you. Any other new business from members of council?
Mr. Cologne?
Mayor Rao?
I just wanted to make a couple comments. I think since the last time we met, and I wasn't sure if council had anything planned here as far as the tragedy that we experienced with Mr. Healy, one of our former city assistant city solicitors, who I think most people know, was on vacation and had a tragic accident and lost his life. And I just wanted to mention, it's been a difficult situation for many people at City Hall who work closely with Mr. Healy, who had a great deal of respect for him. We probably remember him from coming to many meetings, and he was truly somebody that cared about the city and cared about the job. I believe his services are on Friday. We just felt the need to both publicly thank him for his service, to send obviously our condolences to his family, we needed to mention him, because as I said, he was someone that during his time that he worked here really, really cared about the city, cared about getting it right, cared about being thorough in his job, and the city is better off for it. So we, both to Mr. Healy and his family, want to say thank you, and our prayers are with him, our prayers are with his family during this difficult time.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. And we do have a sympathy card up here that members of council signed. Anyone else is welcome to sign it before we send it to Mr. Healy's family. He was someone who I got to interact with, and
some of my family had got to know very well inside City Hall and outside City Hall, and had a great deal of respect for him. I know it was very unfortunate and unexpected, but I hope his family knows we're all thinking of them as they try to find peace and move forward. Before we adjourn tonight, just a couple things I want to bring up. One, commend the administration and the Health Bureau. I saw on social media a opioid substance abuse survey that had been posted that I and a few other people I know participated in. It's open to the public. We saw it on Facebook, and I think that's great as the Health Bureau tries to get input in any way they can. Just asking, gathering a lot of information, a lot of data, as we, for years now, have been talking about the opioid issue, both here in the city and regionally. And I wanted to just turn to Chief Kopp briefly, because then in the news, that kind of coincided within the news. I've been seeing a lot of reports as it related to an increase in fentanyl-related overdoses in a neighboring county, one of our neighboring cities out to the west. So Chief Kopp, if you could just give kind of a brief summary, we don't need figures on the spot like this, but just sort of where are we, because I know during the pandemic it would come up time to time that the numbers had been increasing, and it was something that didn't not necessarily fall by the wayside, but different priorities had to be changed, the energies and resources had to be redirected. As it stands right now, Chief, where do you sort of see things here in the city? Because all the reports I read had been in Berks County and Redding City, but I know historically it's been a regional problem that we've been battling for years. So if you could just give some insight to where we are today.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, what we're seeing locally is comparable to not only the state level, but also on a national level. So according to the PA Attorney General, an average of 14 Pennsylvanians die every day from an overdose. And the CDC listed on their site that the number of drug overdose deaths increased by nearly 5% from 2018 to 2019 and has quadrupled since 1999. Historically, we have seen heroin being the main drug of concern, and that has since shifted to fentanyl. A lot of the manufacturers of the illicit drugs are utilizing fentanyl because it's cheaper to put in combination with other types of drugs. So when they're manufacturing counterfeit prescription pills, they're using it in combination with cocaine and with heroin. And that seems to be the majority of the overdoses that we're seeing here on a local level. So we're very grateful to have such amazing resources here in the city through the Health Bureau. Their naloxone program for families that are interested in having naloxone, if they have a loved one that is suffering from this disease. We also have Treatment Trends over on East Broad Street. They run the Hope Center. We work in unison with them with our PAIR program to help individuals that are looking to get clean, to do that warm handoff. If they come to the police department and ask for help, if they call, we will drive them there. Or if they don't feel comfortable coming here, we'll refer them to go to the Hope Center, where there'll be a certified recovery specialist that can help get them into treatment. The HOST program is another program that we utilize, where if an individual suffers an overdose and is transported to the hospital, our officers or our paramedics will contact our service center, and our service center staff will reach out to the HOST hotline and have a certified recovery specialist respond right to the ER to make contact with that individual to try to get them into treatment. To give you, I was able to pull some numbers with the help of Director Decker. In year 2021, EMS utilized Narcan 33 times, the police department 48 times, fire department 20 times. Year 2020, EMS utilized Narcan 59 times, the police department 47 times, fire department 20 times. So it's something that public safety is working in unison to try to combat, but it is a very serious issue.
Chief, I thank you, because those numbers, and I appreciate you having those numbers and sharing them, because that, in my just simple math here, that's about one use of Narcan every 3 days, and that's a lot. And when we talk about the problem with heroin, with fentanyl, with drugs in our community, it's education and prevention, working with the schools, working with young people, working with even adults, that understanding what they're getting prescribed after surgeries, painkillers. It's help and recovery, like the PEAR program, like the Hope Center. But and then also, as we talk, and the department does a great job with community engagement, being in the neighborhoods, the different units that are out there, talking to neighbors, talking to the kids playing at the park, talking to the block watches, to really identify where is it coming from. Because someone with a problem already has a problem. They didn't grow that poppy in their backyard. So I wish the department all the best as they continue to try to arrest, prosecute, and deter the sale of it, which is a big challenge, not just here, but like we talked about, all over. So I appreciate that information, and later on this year we can have more conversations about that. But as of right now, just all the best to the department, and good luck, Chief. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.
Very good topic.
I was going to say something, but you didn't say something. Maybe it was like giving us space.